Well, good morning. My name is Ian. If you're here with us this morning, first time, or just visiting, welcome. And those of you who are here every week, welcome as well. Last time I stood before you, I was just about to go to the Dominican. And you can tell by my amazing tan. I didn't get a tan, just in case you're wondering. I stayed under the shade. Yeah, so very, very interesting. Those are some of the pictures. Hold it on that one first for a second. You know, it was interesting as Deb and I were considering going away. There's a couple that we know, and they said, you know what, you really should go to the Dominican. And they said, you know, we go to this one resort and it's absolutely stunning and you're going to love it. And it sounded so good. And I looked at it online and everything looked really, really good about it. And, but let's be honest. You know, when someone tells you about something, you always kind of think, well, yeah, it's true. It probably is like that, but it's probably not as good. Because, you know, people tend to exaggerate a little bit. And let's be honest, some people like some things and other people just don't. So you're always kind of wondering, well, is it going to be that good? And so eventually we said, okay, you know what, we got to get away, so let's go. And so we booked. And it was a number of weeks before we could go. And you know how it goes, right? You've got all the busyness of everything that's going on in life. And Deb's, you know, making sure everything's going to be fine while she's away for a week at the store. And I'm making sure I've got all my homework done at school and all my work here in the church has got to be done. So you're getting a lot of stuff. And so the vision that you have about the Dominican is kind of diminishing. It's kind of growing dim because of all the busyness that's going on in your life. And eventually the day came and I couldn't sleep that well. I'm not a very good sleeper when it comes to something important happening the next day. So I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's okay, the flight was at 6, so it wasn't a big deal. So I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning and eventually Deb gets up and the taxi comes, takes us over. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, by lunchtime today, I'm going to be on the beach. And I'm trying to convince myself, it's going to be amazing. And so, you know, of course, we got there. And that view that you see there is the view we had when we first landed there. Not landed at the airport, when we got to the resort, that is the view from the restaurant that we were at. And here's some of the food that we were eating. Oh, it was good. I'm going to try to pronounce this, but if there's any Spanish speakers here, please forgive me for butchering this word. I think it's ceviche or ceviche. Thank you. See, I'm getting the help. Thank you. That is amazing stuff. It's like fish and lobster and crab and all kind of cut up. Anyway, it was good. I just want to let you know. It was good. Here's another thing. Look at the dessert. I mean, all the plates that they, you know, everything's designed just nicely. Presentation is done well. Those were chocolate truffles. I should not be showing you these pictures, right? This is just, this is probably not good. Here's another one. What do we got? Oh, this is me. Those are my toes. That's not me in the pool. That's me. I had a project to finish for school. So we were there for a week from Monday to Monday. The following Tuesday, I had to hand in a project on the book of Judges. So I was like, got to get this thing done. So, but that's not a bad place to be to do a project for school. I think I have one more. Oh, yeah, look at that. That is the sunrise, the last morning that we were there. I'm picking up a lot of, something's going on here, I'm not sure. Anyway, that was the sunrise. And one last picture. Here is Deb and I with our butler. We had our own personal butler. Anything we wanted. Anything we wanted, he was there. He even gave us a cell phone. He said, here's the cell phone. If you need anything, just push this button and I will be here. I'm like, wow, I never had anything like this. The best part about the cell phone, it ran out of batteries. No, wait. So I charged it up, but I have an iPhone. And when I charge my iPhone, it's like I charge it up and it just works. This one didn't do that, and so I'm looking at it the whole week. I'm pressing these buttons, it's not working. You know what the problem was? I didn't turn it on. My goodness. What I heard and what was described to me about the Dominican paled in comparison to when I was there. The experience of being in the Dominican and seeing the blue skies, the white sand, the hearing the sea and seeing, smelling the aromas, it was amazing. And you know, a lot of times, when we look forward to, let's say, the new heaven and the new earth, amen, with the new Jerusalem, the people who wrote in this book, they have spent so much time trying their very, very best to explain to us what it's going to be like. But you know what? It's going to pale in comparison. Because they're just using their words. They're doing their very, very best. But I believe this. When we are in eternity, when we arrive at the, at that place, whatever, you know, it is going to be way beyond anything that we can imagine. And the words that we remember from the Bible, we're going to say, oh, that's what he was trying to say. Now I get it. Well, we're going to spend quite a bit of time this morning talking about eternity is not boring. That's actually the title for our message this morning. Eternity is not boring. And I'll tell you why we came up with this title is because when the majority of people think about eternity, being with God for eternity, some of the things you think about, it would lead you to believe this is going to be boring. So let me go through some of the typical stereotypes that you have. Remember, these are very human concepts that people have. Number one, in eternity we will be playing harps on clouds, wearing white robes. How many have ever heard this before? You ever heard anybody tell you, that is what eternity is going to be like? Does that sound exciting? Okay. That might be okay if you're a musical. But if you're like an engineer, logical thinker, you'd be like, that's not pleasurable. Here's another one. Eternity is going to be spent singing in some angelic celestial choir. Okay, be honest. Who here does not have a good voice? Raise your hand. Okay, does that sound like someplace you want to stay? Does that sound like something you want to do for eternity? Then no wonder you would, when you hear those kind of things, you would say, that's boring. I don't want to do that. We have one quote from, I got a number of quotes this morning, one quote from Carol Zaleski that talks about this notion of boring. Perhaps the greatest obstacle to a robust belief in heaven or eternity is the curious notion that a life of eternal blessedness would be boring. People don't want to go to, don't want to spend eternity with God because it sounds boring. Here's another one. Eternity will be like being reunited with all of your loved ones and spending eternity with them, it's kind of like this family reunion for eternity. Does that sound good? Well, I guess it depends on your family, right? Some people enjoy Thanksgiving, you know, to get together with their family. Others are dreading it because there's Uncle So-and-so who just, you know, he does, oh. Can you imagine if eternity is spent as one big family reunion? Now, listen, I'm not saying you're not going to see your loved ones. No. But just think, if that's the extent of your eternity is, okay, Bob, I'm sure you have a lovely family, right? And I'm sure they're good for about an hour or two, right? Maybe four. But eternity? Well, that's really stretching things. Like, wow. So that's number three. These are just typical stereotypes that people have about eternity. Number four would go this way. We are going to be living in mansions, walking on golden streets. You heard that one before?
Yes.
Okay, a lot of people have not heard that. You haven't heard that before? Okay, there we are. Okay, when I'm up here, I do like a lot of interaction, so stay with me, okay? So I'm going to live in my mansion, and if I like Nigel, I'm going to invite him over to my mansion, right? And if I don't, it's okay, because... Living in mansions, walking on golden streets for eternity. Really? Really? Here's another quote by Randy Alcorn. If you're at all interested in this thought of eternity and heaven or you know, the New Jerusalem, I would highly recommend Randy Alcorn. He's done extensive work in this area. Randy says, Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us and he'd take us there to live with him forever. That's John 14. We all are familiar with those kind of verses. Is that true? Yes. But what is that place? Revelation 21 makes it clear, it's the new earth. Again, there's this notion, we're all flying off to heaven. Well, you know what? You got a location problem. Because God's coming to earth. That's where the new Jerusalem will reside, and when it comes down out of heaven, only then will we be truly home. Here's another one. Heaven or eternity is going to be that ideal place where I get to just do whatever it is that I love to do. I put a golf picture on the screen because that's what I hear men say a lot. Like, I'm going to be able to play golf forever. I hate golf. If that is eternity... That is hell for me. That better not be what eternity is about. But don't think that this is, you know, just a notion that is with a few people. There's a guy named Stefano. Here's his book, A Travel Guide to Heaven. I'm telling you right now, don't bother reading this book. Go get Randy Alcorn's book on heaven. Okay. Heaven, he says, is like Disney World. Hawaii, Paris, Rome, and New York all rolled up into one, the ultimate playground created purely for our enjoyment. Purely for our enjoyment. I just like to make a little note here. Nigel pointed out to me, over time, we're talking about the last couple of centuries, right? The last couple of centuries. There's been a movement away from eternity being a place where we spend it with God, and God is the center. Now the notion is all the way over here. Oh, it's all about us. So that's why it seems like all these things rolled into one. It's a pleasure palace, a fairyland, a nature preserve. I'll tell you this, my grandbabies would love this. But that's not what it's going to be. That's not what it's going to be. One last typical stereotype of eternity, and there may be more that we're not touching this morning, is this. you and I will be disembodied spirits floating around for eternity. In other words, we won't have a body. N.T. Wright says this: most Western Christians and most Western non-Christians hold a soft version of Plato's position. The created world is at best irrelevant, at worst a dark, evil, gloomy place, and we immortal souls who existed originally in a different sphere are looking forward to returning to it as soon as we're allowed to. In other words, we're going to spend eternity without bodies, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, let me ask you, does that sound exciting? It doesn't, right? Let's be honest. That sounds boring. But here's an interesting thing. Boring is not part of the new creation. It's not part of the new heaven and the new earth. Boring is part of today. Let me show you a verse from Revelation 22, verse 3. It says this: no longer will there be any curse. Boring is part of the curse. The curse in eternity is gone. There is not going to be anything like boring in the new heavens and the new earth. You tell me, because this is what you've got to weigh it against, right? Do you think God is boring? Think about that question for a second. Do you think God is boring? Okay, if God is boring, think about what he's created. Look at this. This is the Horsehead Nebula. Is that boring? Look at this. These are mountains in China. Does that seem boring to you? That was so inspiring to somebody that they based a whole movie around that thing called Avatar. Is that right? Many, many years. Oh, now all of a sudden we're remembering, right? Yeah, there was a lot of computer graphics and everything else. Does that seem boring? Because the God who created that, some people think he's boring. Here's another one. Do you know what this is? That is a rainbow eucalyptus tree. Wow. Okay. I'm warning you. This next one is going to shock you, but it's real. But it just shows how, that might be ugly, but it's definitely not boring. Don't you want to figure out what that is? It actually is a fish. We have a God. Think about it. We've got a God who just, he is not boring. He is so creative. That's called a drop fish, by the way. And one last one. Do you know what else God created? Is God boring? If God is not boring, seriously, if God is not boring, you can see it in his creation. Why do we think that eternity is going to be boring? It's going to be anything but boring. Well, let's have a look at some verses. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. Then I saw a new heaven. Remember, by the creative God. What is it going to look like? It's not going to be boring. And a new earth. It's not going to be boring. New heaven and a new earth for the first earth. Sorry, first heaven, first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Del covered all of that last week. But look at this other verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to? Peter says we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. That means that's worthwhile looking forward to. I was looking forward to my vacation. When I got there, it was way beyond what I imagined. But that's not the only thing I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And I like the last part of this verse, where righteousness dwells. Oh, that's good. Where righteousness dwells. Well, let me tell you a little bit about new heaven, new earth, eternity. Again, you remember we talked about one of the concepts is this idea of disembodied spirits kind of floating around. We've covered over the last little while that you and I will have new bodies. They're going to be different. They're going to be spiritual bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:44 says this, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And here's where people kind of pick up on this idea of disembodied spirits, is because they just emphasize spiritual. You're going to be spiritual. It's all going to be spiritual. But spiritual in this verse is an adjective. It's describing the physical new body. Give you a little bit of an idea of what that might look like, because, you know, the Lord Jesus resurrected. He had a new body. Look at these verses from Luke 24. Right at the end of the gospel, it says, Jesus himself, this is the night that he rose, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace to you. This is his disciples. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And Jesus knows exactly what they're thinking. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Touch me and see. Jesus Christ had a physical body. Yes, it went into the grave, but it was resurrected. It was brand new. And look what he says. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. You and I in eternity, we're going to have flesh and bones. As you see that I have. And of course, you realize they're not buying it. If I were there, I would not be buying it too. So he goes further. He says, and while they were marveling, he said to them, have you got anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. That's a physical body. But it's different because, you know, at the very beginning, he just kind of appeared. I don't understand it, but it's different. We're not just going to be this, you know, these spirits floating around in eternity. God is giving us spiritual bodies. Look at this Time magazine quote from 1997. I doubt this is any different for today. Of Americans who believe in the resurrection of the dead, 2/3 believe they will not have a body in eternity. Two-thirds of Christians. Brothers and sisters, are you like that? Is that your thought, thinking, I'm not going to have a body in the new heaven, the new earth? You are going to have a body. The Bible says you're going to have a body. It's a physical, tangible body. We also know that in Revelation 21:5, it says that God is making all things new. And N.T. Wright has this to say about that. The early Christians believed that God was going to do for the whole cosmos what he had done for Jesus at Easter. Think about what we just saw, because that is Easter. Jesus appeared in a room with a brand new body, and he ate, and he spoke, and he was able to be touched and seen. God is going to do for the whole cosmos what he did for Jesus at Easter. I'm excited. This eternity thing, it's going to be good. It is not going to be boring. Okay, but I wanted to get really, really practical for everyone in this room. Because you still may be thinking, well, what are we going to be doing? I want to show you two verses, one from the beginning regarding how we were originally created, and one that points elsewhere. Look at this. God said in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image. God made man in his own image. Every person in this room, every person living on the face of this earth and who has ever lived on this earth is an image bearer of God. Why do you do the things you do? Because you're made in the image of God. Why are you industrious? Why are you creative? Why are you productive? Why do you love to discover? Why do you love to build? Why do you love to plan? Because you are made in the image of your Creator. Why are you artistic? Why do you just love to give expression from within you to the things that you see outside? Because you are made in the image of your God. You are made in the image of the one who made the rainbow eucalyptus tree. In this day and age, as we sit here today, you and I are image bearers, and a lot of the things that we do are because we are image bearers. You are creative because you are an image bearer of God. And you know what? It's not going to be any different in eternity. Look at this second verse. Paul in Colossians is telling the believers, now that you have been regenerated, now that you are saved, you are part of this thing called a new man, or a new creation, let's say, and have put on the new man, which is being renewed after the image of its creator. Do you know you're going to be an image bearer going forward? In eternity, you will still be doing the same kinds of things that you are doing today. Think about this. People today love to design and they love to build. And that's why we have iPhones. And that's why we have skylines like this. We're made this way. We're created this way by our God. Don't think that in eternity... let me contrast something for you. If that's the way we are, I think I've made a pretty good case here. We're image bearers. If you tell me I've got to sit on a cloud and strum a harp, I'm not interested in going there. I'm made like this. You're made that way. You're made to discover. You're made to create. You're made to express. That's the way that God has made you. Don't think that going forward, you're not going to be the same way. Eternity is going to be filled with God and his people who are his image bearers. Oh, it's going to be good. Can you get me the Lois Dow quote? Regina? Yeah. In the New Jerusalem, people will use their talents and gifts in service to God. Is that helpful to you? In eternity, you're still going to have the same talents and gifts that you have, and you're going to use them in service to God, displaying creativity that is part of being made in God's image, an image that is being renewed in believers. You know, in the original garden, a number of things took place. First of all, God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman, and they came together, and it's a wonderful union, and then more and more humans were brought forth. You and I are social beings. We're made that way. And do you know what eternity is going to be like? Filled with people. We will continue to be social beings. That will not stop. You and I were made for relationship, and that will not stop. You and I also bear a lot of responsibility. Think about the original creation again. Adam was told, I want you to name all the animals in the garden. God is not going to ask Adam to do that if Adam is not capable of doing it. You and I will have responsibility. We have responsibility now as image bearers. We'll have responsibility going forward. We also are worshipers of God. And we will be worshiping God. And again, it's not one of those things where I'm going to be in church 24/7. That's what some of us think. Lois Dow has another quote here. It may also be that God, being so powerful and creative, has other projects of which we know nothing, and perhaps believers will reign with him in these projects as well. Whatever the case, the pleasures of discovery and accomplishment will not be missing in the New Jerusalem. Does that sound good? Oh, I think we all need to say, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to eternity. I don't know what it's really all going to be like. I'll find out one day. But that is hopeful. That to me is hopeful. Well, let me spend a little bit of time at the end just giving you a little bit of... I haven't spent much time in the verses, but that's okay. I tell you honestly, my heart this morning was to come up here and to give you new understanding of the new heaven, new earth, and eternity. What it's going to look like... You know, to me, it doesn't matter that much. But here's one thing I know. God, the Creator, who made us in His image, is going to want us to keep bearing His image as we go forward. Let me just show you a few last things. The city, this New Jerusalem, is actually a city, temple, garden. Very interesting. Let me show you some of these verses. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Here's another verse after that. He carried me away in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. This city is going to have the glory of God. It's going to center around God. Yes, we're going to be there to worship and to serve and to love him and to do what he's called us to do, but it's going to center around God. It has the glory of God and its radiance like a most rare jewel. And then, of course, it goes into describing all these different jewels. It is going to be awesome. A couple of verses too in 22, 23. And I saw no temple in the city. So if you're thinking old Jerusalem, you remember the temple there. There's no temple kind of like that. For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. Do I have one more verse? I think I do, right? This is the garden part. So we've seen city, temple, garden. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Can I sit here and describe to you what it's going to be like? No. That's like the couple who told us about Dominican. I can tell you a little bit. I can read to you what it's going to be like. But I want you to leave here this morning having hope. I want you to leave here this morning having new expectation of what eternity is going to be like. Believe me, brothers and sisters, it is going to be awesome. God is there. We are there. We're serving him. It will be a place of diversity. You know what I love about Toronto? Diversity. When I grew up in a small town just outside of Liverpool and in England, and it was pretty whitewashed. So all my neighbors were white. All the people around me, they were just white. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way that it was. And then my mom and dad, when we were 11 years old, said, "We're moving to South Africa." We got on a plane. We landed. And it wasn't whitewashed anymore. And I began to learn the value of diversity. And I've told this story a number of times, but I loved to play soccer when I was a kid all the time. And the kids in South Africa, they didn't want to necessarily play soccer with me. So the only people that I could play soccer with were the native kids. And I had absolutely no problem playing with those who were there. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all kinds of criticism from the white kids. "Why are you hanging around with the black kids?" Then I moved. Then we moved to Canada. I went back to a fairly whitewashed city, small city called Sarnia, 3 hours west of here. And eventually the Lord called us to serve here in this church. And Toronto is as diverse as you can get, pretty much. Do you know what? Eternity is not going to be whitewashed.
Amen.
I don't care what color you are. Right? Color is, it makes no difference. It's not going to be one homogeneous color. You know, sometimes we think, oh, eternity, we're all just going to be like clones. That's not it. Remember, in the New Jerusalem, there's going to be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. It's going to be diverse. It's going to be very, very diverse. Let's see. I have 3 minutes. I'm not going to take all 3 minutes. I just mentioned this point because it's the last point in your outline. You and I will have a role in eternity. Humanity will have a role in eternity. We will be priests who worship God. We will be kings who reign with God. And we will be those who serve Him. I hope your view is uplifted.
Amen.
I hope you could say now, "I'm really looking forward to going there. I don't quite get it, what it's all going to be like, but I can guarantee you this, it's going to be better than I can describe. It's going to be better than even the Bible itself can describe, because a lot of this is symbolism. So look forward to that day." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you also for who you are. You are not boring. You are creative and magnificent. And God, we're going to spend eternity getting to know you in detail. We look forward to that. So we just thank you for your word. Thank you also that you've started something in each one of our hearts. And we pray that, Lord, whatever it is that you've started, it could continue to grow and bubble up within us so that as we're at work, as we're in our homes, we could tell others and others could see you in us. God, we love you so much. We do pray. We do pray for our vision, that it would not be dimmed because of the busyness of our life. Pray that our hope would be fresh every day. We don't just get to spend time with you now, but in eternity, we get to serve you, reign with you as your image bearers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, 10 o'clock. Oh, what?
10 o'clock.
Are you excited about eternity now? I hope so. One announcement that we just need to make before you all pack up, and that is next Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we have a special guest coming to speak. He is from Afghanistan. I'm looking at Bob because I'm... He is from Afghanistan. He is a former Taliban who is now a Christian, was graciously brought here by God, by a church in Mississauga, and he wants to tell people his story, right? So next Sunday morning, 10 a.m. If you're only here at 11 a.m., you will miss it. So be here. And I saw somebody here this morning. They invited a friend. That's not a bad idea. This is something to invite a friend to. May God bless you.
Amen.
Give you peace.
Amen.
And shine on you.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week.